Hello and welcome to the Mal and Johnny Show. I've been waiting you for ages. For Johnny Tudor to deign to appear. You had an important meeting coming in the last minute, Johnny. What was it?
I was on my bike with the kids in the park.
It's a nice day.
The sun was shining. Yeah. It's a nice day, yeah. It's lovely, thank goodness. That rain's gone. Oh, my God.
Yeah, driving us nuts. So, so were you on a bike as well, or are you just chasing people on bikes? How's it work?
No, what happened was, because the little my grandkids live about a mile up the road from me, okay?
Right.
And their bikes were at their house.
All right.
So Alwyn took the two kids in the car to their house.
Yeah.
I followed on in my bike.
Right.
Then the kids rolled back with me on their bikes down the cycle path all the way to my place.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's nice. That's right, off the road. You don't want to be on the road, do you?
Yeah, it's on the cycle. There's a cycle path that goes all the way to Barry from where I live. It's fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
So,
Well done. So it's going to be a busy week or so, isn't it? You're used to holidays.
So I've done my exercise.
Good man. So you thought, fashion through the decades, Johnny Tudor. That's what you think. Because you've always been a dedicated follower of fashion, haven't you?
Well, when I left school, my first job was working in a shop called John Collier's.
Yes, right.
Which was a man's shop, yeah. In those days, I'm talking about when I was 16 years old, everybody had made-to-measure suits.
Right.
They'd come in on a Saturday, it'd be packed. People, I'd have to measure people up for their suits and stuff. Yeah. So I was always been like wearing like flash suits all my life.
Any particular materials that you fancied?
Well, in the beginning, I used to have my very first suit was a hop sack. You know, hop sack sounds like it's a hop sack, but it's a weave. Oh. It's a very, very close weave. It's very nice.
Right.
A navy blue hop sack suit I had. It was lovely. And it was a Dax. My mother bought it for me.
Oh.
A Dax was a make that was very expensive.
Yeah.
But it was my first job. So you've got to go looking nice. So I went in this Dax suit.
Yeah, yeah.
But from then on, because I worked in the tailor shop, I used to get my suits made, see?
So like from scratch, like they do, like you see when they go to, what's it called? Savile Row. Do they do all that?
That's right. Well, they all did it. Burton's
really?
Did it. John Collier's did it. There was loads of different. Hector Power, what was the other one? There were loads of men's shops, which you could buy off the peg,
right.
But you could also have tailored suits made to measure.
And were they really expensive?
Not that expensive. I mean, let me think. When I'm talking about in the early 60s, now I'm talking, you could get a suit made for 10, 15 quid.
Wow. Oh, God. For the average man on the street listening to this now, or woman on the street, what's the difference, Johnny, between getting one off the peg and getting one, you know, made to measure?
Well, it was made to measure. It just fits you and nobody else. I mean, you know, the length of the sleeve will be dead right, the length of the trousers, everything. You can have what style you want. Because, I remember the styles. When I started, it was the Italian style suits, the short jackets and the narrow trousers and three buttons and so on. And then the Teddy Boys came in and they wanted long jackets.
Yeah.
They used to come and say, I want it fingertip length, they say. You'd have to measure it to the fingertips. The jacket went to there. And they'd have all the flash stuff, like the velvet collars on them, things like that.
Yeah.
But the man in the street, he would have like, because before the drain pipes came in, when my father used to wear like wide trousers, not bell bottoms, but they were quite wide.
Yeah.
And then the drain pipes came in.
Yeah.
So I used to wear 16-inch bottoms in those days. You couldn't get them on with your shoes.
What's a 16-inch bottom? Sorry,
around the bottom of the cuff of your trousers.
Oh.
It was 16 inches, so it's quite narrow, see?
Yeah, you had to point your toes to get it down that, didn't it, I expect? Point
yeah, yeah. So that was that. And then what else did it? But I worked in John Collier's for quite a while, and then I got a job. I went into show business.
Right.
But then, you know what, when you're starting, you don't get many jobs. So I got another job in Hodges Menswear, Port Albert.
Glamour. It's the glamour.
Yeah. So anyway, I get a summer season now in Skegness.
Mm.
And it was the time of the shiny suit. Do you remember the shiny mohair suits?
Yeah, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, well, there weren't many about at the time. And then this bloke was working in the show and he said, I got some lovely material. So he got this, a roll of material. It was 3.5 yards made a suit for a man, okay?
Right.
That's what was on the roll.
Yeah.
A basic man, if he's not too big. So he had a roll of this mohair, beautiful boy. He said, he sold it to me for like, I can't remember what. So I go back to my old boss who worked in Hodges. I said, I want this, a suit made up in this. So he took me down to Velinvach, where the factory was.
Yeah.
And I saw the cutter, Mr. Febre. And he said, I'll make you any cutting. Because that's the main art, is the cutter.
Right.
Oh. You know, the sewing up is an art as well. But the cutter, he's got to do the pattern for your suit. It's done in paper to start with. And they put it on the they do all the measurements. We used to do, and let me think what we used to do. We used to do, for the legs, we'd have waist, obviously.
Yeah.
Around the seat,
yes.
We'd have outside leg to your shoe, inside leg to the shoe.
Yeah.
Then for the jackets, you'd have waist, you'd have chest, you'd have half back, like in the middle of your back to your shoulder. Then you'd have from the shoulder down the sleeve to the cuff. So you had all these different measurements,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
And then they would make the patterns and make you a suit.
Wow.
So I had this one of the first mohair suits in Port Talbot, I think.
And it was worth it? It was good?
Oh, yes, lovely.
Wow.
And then for years, and then I found a tailor in Cardiff, and Jewish bloke called Ronnie Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
And he made lovely suits because he was a handmade tailor and blah, blah, blah. So he wasn't like a chain like John Collins. He was a tailor shop, proper tailor. So he was more expensive.
All right.
But he was very good, okay? And then I saw on television, I think it was Bruce Forsyth, and he always had beautiful suits.
Right.
He'd always mentioned a bloke called Robbie.
Robbie, right.
One of Robbie's. I got another one of Robbie's on. So I thought, I've got to find out who this Robbie is. So eventually I found out it was a fellow called Robbie Stamford, right? And he had a tailor shop in, where was it? Where was the old BBC? Shepherd's Bush.
Shepherd's Bush. Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
It was in Shepherd's Bush, in High Street. That's where he had his tailor shop. So I thought, I'm going to find this bloke now. So now I'm getting suits from John Collier's and a place like that for 25 quid max.
Yeah.
He was 80 quid. So it was a fortune, right?
Wow.
I'm talking about 1968.
Wow.
And that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I got to have one of these suits because he's brilliant. So he made me this suit and he said, what lining do you want in it? Because they put different lines. He put this cerise line inside this black dress suit. It looked fantastic. When you turned it, it would flash on. So when I walk in through the door, he went, hello, Johnny, I saw you on television. I've just done bloody opportunity knocks, haven't I? So he's schmoozing me already. But I went to that tailor right up until I had my last suit made, and I think he's dead now.
Oh, man.
And I used to ring him up when he gave up his shop, because he had a shop then in, because he started doing all the big stars. He'd do Tom Jones, Engelbert, who else did he used to do? Des O'Connor. You name it, he did them, you know. And he had this shop in, what was the name of the street? Conduit Street, off Bond Street.
Right.
And he'd have all the pictures in the window of all the stars with his suits on.
I am listening, Johnny. I'm just going to find something now. You carry on talking.
So he had this place now in the West End. So obviously his suits are getting more expensive now.
Yes.
But I still went to him. Like, if I could afford one a year, I'd get it.
Right.
Because I needed it. But usually for the work, for dress suits or whatever. I used to ring him up and he'd meet me in Savile Row in Holland and Sherry,
right.
Which is the shop that sells all the wonderful materials.
Right.
And you'd pick what you want and then he'd measure you and he'd take away and make you a suit. But you'd have about three or four fittings, okay? Right. You'd have the skeleton fitting, which is just, bit, you know, which you got the under. And then, so after about three trips to London, it's cost me a fortune. I said, look, when it's ready, Rob, can you send it to me on the train? He said, no, can't do that. So why not? He said, I made six suits for Glen Campbell. I sent it Pan Am and they got lost. But going back to the styles that they've changed, and then the bell bottoms came in, didn't they?
Yeah, flares.
The big flares.
Oh, yeah.
The dandares.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you remember about the different styles
funny,
and stuff?
It's funny you mentioned about that tailor. You know, because the proper tailors were characters, weren't they? I went to
to
Memphis, right? So the Peabody Hotel to meet Mr. Bernard Lansky. Yes, sir, Mr. Bernard Lansky, yes, sir. And Bernard Lansky had the fashion shop in Memphis that Elvis went to get his suits.
Oh, did he make him those suits, jumpsuits?
No, he made him, so when in the 50s, when he first started going, when Elvis started going, Bernard Lansky used to, they were called jug suits? No, the jumping
jumpsuit.
Something like that. Duke suits.
I know the ones you mean.
Zoot Street.
It was the white trousers.
Yeah, Zoot ones. And he said he used
Zoot suits. Yeah. That's what they were called.
And he used to make them for, as he used to say, all the pimps.
Yeah, that's right.
In Memphis. And, of course, Elvis came in and, you know, yes, sir, I freed him up. Yes, sir. And I got him with his clothes and his gun and he got more, you know. And it's like, it was as interesting talking to him about dressing Elvis as he was listening to Elvis. It was fantastic.
A real character. They are characters. They're real characters.
Yeah. I suppose, I've never had a suit made, Johnny. I've never. I'm jealous because I think it sounds fantastic. But my
thing with a made suit, you know the cuff buttons?
Yes.
They actually open on a handmade suit.
No way.
And all the lining is put in by hand.
Wow.
All hand-stitched. And all on the edge, hand-stitched edge in. Wow. I mean, it's a fantastic art. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Did it hurt then going in the 70s, I suppose, to not a suit? Do you ever go on stage not in a suit?
No, I've always been a suit man, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these days, I'll perhaps just go on in a jacket and an open-neck shirt. But I mean, I'm so used to, like, it was the dinner jackets in those days. Yeah. You went on in a dinner suit.
Yeah.
Put a price, you know, you had to go on looking smart, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So my,
got some of the suits and they still fit me.
Still fit you, that's brilliant. Obviously, I used to buy my suits with my mum, you know. You'd always buy them to grow into, wouldn't you? You was like, well, when you're a kid.
You'd go into this.
And I remember, so I'm going to drop a name now, went to see Elton John at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in... Is it Croydon or somewhere like that? He was doing a solo concert. And I went there with a lady called Jill Brown. She drove us up. And it was a really lovely concert. And we went backstage halfway through. And we walked in. And he was in his underpants because he was getting changed. Anyway, so I walked in. He's having a little chat. And he went, your suit, he said, it's too big for you. I'm going... I felt awful. I felt, I mean, he wasn't being nasty or mean. It was just...
No.
It was a suit that was, because it had to last another year or so, so I was going to grow into it as well.
But have you noticed these days, like people on television, like newsreads or whatever, the trousers are always too long.
Oh.
They're like about 3 or 4 inches, and they're all cockling over the shoes. I thought, that's... You know, you could never get, if you had a maid suit, you'd never have a suit like that.
Yeah.
And the sleeves are always down there. I always used to have a little bit of cuff showing.
Bit of cuff, yeah. What about Rishi Sunak then? Because he goes against that grain, doesn't he? His trousers are halfway up his ankles.
I know. I mean, he's got all the money in the world. I always say this, why didn't he get a decent suit? he pays good money for him, but it's like, no, I don't know. I mean, if you look at any of the old Tom Jones shows or Engelbert shows, they're all Robbie Stanford suits they got on.
Really?
You can always tell by the shape. There's not a wrinkle in the chest bit. Wow. You know, they just fit perfectly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Tom used to chuck him in the bloody audience, and Robbie used to go nuts. He's chucked his jacket in the audience. I'll go make him another one. Freddie Starr, right? He was making one for Freddie Starr because Freddie Starr used to wear those red silly rock and roll suits that he would show with like ankle swinging trousers and big wide shoulders. You know? He said, and he made him an ordinary suit, like a nice suit.
Yes.
He said he chucked it away. He said, I can't get a laugh in this. It's too smart. Oh, my God.
So, I suppose by the time I'd got it was jeans. It was, you know, flared jeans.
Oh, yeah, it's gone jeans, though, isn't it?
All the Western stuff. It was the Eagles and all that. It was cheese. Cloth material. And then, I suppose, but lately I've tried to go a little bit smarter, Johnny. I think probably...
You got a red suit.
I think it's the influence that you had on me, you know, a little bit. You have to put a price on yourself, Johnny, when you go on stage, don't you?
You've got to look the business. You've got to look better than your audience, haven't you? It's like I saw somebody once, I forget who it was a comedian, and he's watching television, he says, look at this comedian. He's doing comedy, he's dressed for a felony. Because they walk on stage now, a pair of trainers and jeans and a sloppy T-shirt. Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes against the grain with me. I can't see that.
No, you know,
you've got to look a bit after, you know.
Yeah.
If you think of the old comedians, they were always dressed nice.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Okay. Any style that you...
We've become Americanized.
We have. Well, like everything, Johnny, like everything. Anyway, have a nice day.
I knew.
All right. So rest of the week. Anything exciting with the kids? What's going? Oh, I'm going away, Johnny.
Where are you going?
I've got a gig in Eastbourne, and then I've got a gig on Saturday at All Souls Langham Place with an orchestra and a What's it called? A chamber choir. What do you think of that?
Oh, nice. Yeah. So where are you going? Are you going to the Congress in Eastbourne?
I'm not sure. Going to read down to rehearsals now on Thursday, concert on Friday, and then up to London on Saturday, and then back on Sunday. Back on Sunday.
So, all right. I'm saying, is there a Congress theatre you're doing in Eastbourne?
I don't know.
There's two theatres. Is there a theatre show you're doing?
Yeah. The thing is, you see, once... Do you know, it's like, if it's not exact, if it's not your gig, you sort of just turn up wherever you got to go and do it.
Oh, I see. I'll
just sort of get off the train, probably be met by a limousine or a bicycle. And
with your boombox and your guitar.
Exactly. And say, take me to the concerts.
I like Eastbourne. It's a nice place.
It is nice. It's the only town I've ever been to. There's three monumental masons on the high street. You could choose your own headstone. Don't like ego next to them. All right, man. Good. Well, there's always a natty dresser. So, from the most sartorial, elegant man on a Mal and Johnny podcast.
Yeah, you never think that coming from Mike's dig, would you?
Mike's dig. You can take the boy out of Mike's dig.
There was a shop in Mike's dig, you know. Ned Paris House, it was called.
Right.
And yeah, because he used to stock Dax suits and Crombie overcoats. Because in all these places, like any of the valley towns, there'd always be one posh shop, wouldn't there? There'd be a posh shop.
Yeah, fantastic. You know,
where the bank manager went, you know.
And Johnny Tudor.
And Johnny Tudor.
All right, man.
All right, mate.
Yeah, love to the kids and all that, the grandkids, and speak to you soon.
Okay, have a good Easter.
Yeah, ta-da, Johnny. Bye.
Hello, it's time.